The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Lord, we thank you for the morning. And just pray now that even as we open your word, that you would just speak to us, speak to our hearts. We thank you for this series and just the instruction and the design of this prayer. And Lord, I pray that it would just continue to move in us, Lord, that we would be a people that just pray. And we pray this morning for the week with this camp, Lord, that you are ahead of it, and we know you are, and we pray that you would be with the kids that are involved, Lord, that you would speak to young hearts, that you would draw them near, Lord, that they would learn of you and their love and your love for them. Lord, that you would be with the workers, be with parents trying to maneuver schedules and get their kids there, be with the volunteers. Lord, I pray that you would keep us healthy and strong. And even these host families, Lord, I pray that you would be with them in the midst of a different week. And so we just rejoice and thank you for what you're going to do this week. And we ask these things in your precious, precious holy name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 6. We're going to be all over the place this morning. So once you find Matthew 6, if you'll find Luke 11, and once you find Luke 11, if you'll find Isaiah 53. So we're going to be moving a little bit this morning. I mentioned a couple weeks ago as we were talking about praying about all things and everything that the thing that I prayed about as a kid was, and now I'm praying again since I've told you all that I would be a professional baseball player and that the Lord would give me that opportunity. And you know, I'm still praying that. I don't know what that's going to look like, considering I can't even throw overhanded anymore because I have a blown shoulder. So I'm praying for that shoulder, too. But I was thinking about that this week. When I was a little boy, that's what I wanted to be. When I was a young man, that's what I wanted to be, was to be a baseball player. And in doing that, I was a middle infielder. So to do that, you got to be a great hitter. And so as a kid, I studied the two people that I knew were the best hitters of all time. Now, it was a different time because we didn't have internet, right? So it's not like you can just go pull up a YouTube video and watch these individuals perform. But my dad always believed that Ted Williams was the greatest hitter of all time. So I began to study Ted Williams. And there was an old book that I've gotten recently, again, for my boys to read. It's a hitting book by Ted Williams. And I would read this thing, and it was instruction on just all these different things to do to become a great hitter. Like, and then I would study Tony Gwynn. So if any time the Padres were playing, I'd turn it on, and I'd watch, and I would try to mimic the swings, and I'd pay attention to anything that these guys said about hitting. Everything from, I think Tony Gwynn said, one of the best things you can do is go and get a bag of pinto beans and have somebody throw pinto beans to you, and you take your regular swing and you hit it with a baseball bat. So my poor mom, she would go out in the yard and throw pinto beans to me. We had pinto beans everywhere. And but I was so determined that I was going to be like these people that I did whatever it took. And this sounds simple, because it is simple. But I don't know about you. I do know about you because I know your hearts. If we want to be like Jesus, wouldn't we do anything that he tells us to do to be more like him? Right? Like if we want to be lights in the darkness, if we want to be image bearers, if we want to look like Jesus, why wouldn't we do what Jesus tells us to do? And I think of this prayer. I mean, these guys, they've grown up with prayer. They've grown up with all these rhythms of prayer, but they see Jesus, and Jesus prays differently. So they say, Jesus, will you teach us to pray? And Jesus says, yes. And this is what he says. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgiven our debtors. And let us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's really remarkable because this is the way that Jesus prays. He doesn't give you a list of, okay, this is what you do. This is how you have to do it. It has to be this formula. He's actually demonstrating the way he prays himself. And it's really beautiful. It's remarkable because he simply starts with addressing who he's praying to the Father, Daddy. It's relational. It's intimacy. So he starts with, this is how it begins. This is not just empty words that you're throwing up. This is how I pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, would you make your name ultimate? Lord, would you make your name known? You are the one that sustains all things. You are sovereign over all things. Would you make your name known to all of the world? Would your name be ultimate? Which begs the question, we said, if we're going to pray this, we got to ask the question, is he even ultimate in our own lives before we pray this? Is he first? And then, would your kingdom come? Would your kingdom come in the places that love is lacking? Would your kingdom come in the relationships around me? Lord, would your kingdom come and your will be done, not my will be done? It's interesting here because Jesus starts off with intimacy and then he immediately goes into the things that are important to who? The Father. It's about the Father. I don't know if you've ever been in relationships like this, because they're usually not fun. But have you ever been in relationships where you begin a conversation with someone, and the conversation with that person never comes off of that person, right? Like, they never ask about you, they never ask about your family, they never ask about the things going on in your life. It's just all about them. How long do those relationships usually last? They don't usually last too long. What Jesus is showing us here is it's intimacy and it's being in tune to what he's doing. Being a part of what he's doing. Praying for the things that are important to him. Spending time in those things. And then he gets into our daily bread. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. What Jesus is saying is pray about everything. All things. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And here's what's crazy about it is the order here is pretty important because I think what we see here is as we recognize, as we grow in intimacy with God, and as we recognize what's important to God, it starts to shape what we ask for. It doesn't mean you don't ask for all things. It doesn't mean that I don't pray that I'll play for the Yankees still. It just means that the way those prayers are answered, I begin to understand. Because he's sovereign and he's good. And he's in control. And what Jesus says is, listen, no, you pray. Pray for all these things. Give us this day our daily bread. Not just the amazing things of your kingdom stuff, but the normal everyday needs. Lay them before the Father. And we say, does Jesus actually pray these things? He does. Yes, he prays these things. He's showing us how to pray. He talks to the Father about the Father's glory. He talks to the Father about his kingdom. He talks to the Father about his will. And he talks to the Father about his basic needs. And then we get to verse 12, where we landed last week. And forgive us for our debts. Lord, forgive us for our sins, which is really interesting. Because why does Jesus, if this is how Jesus prays, why is Jesus asking for forgiveness of sin? Why is Jesus saying, forgive us for our debts? Because Jesus never sinned. See, there's a shift here that takes place. We understand everything to this point, and then all of a sudden, there's a shift that takes place, and you say, huh, that's interesting. Because he doesn't say, okay, guys, this is how I pray. You do these things, but when we get to this part, all you sinners, this is how you continue. I don't pray this way. No, he doesn't. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Starting in verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah is giving you prophecy of the Messiah, who is Jesus, right? It's mind-blowing, because what Jesus does for us is he doesn't pay our debt from an arm's length, right? He's numbered with us. So if we took all the transgressors, we took all the sinners, and we put them on the stage here, Jesus is here with us. When I love summertime, and one of my favorite summers of all time, we were living in Greenwood, South Carolina, and my dad was in full-time ministry at the time. My mom was working at a bank, so we just had kind of full roam of the summer. It was awesome, and we would play ball all day. And I remember during the week. For some reason, we didn't have anything to eat that day. And so we aggravate mom. She's at the bank. She goes, okay, I forgot. I didn't get to the grocery store. I'll tell you what. There was a little store right up the road called Harrison's. And it was kind of like an old gas station where you could get anything you wanted, right? And so she said, if you go up there, they have hot dogs. You can get a hot dog. And just tell Mr. Harrison to put it on my tab. I was like, put it on your tab. So you can just go up there. And she goes, yeah, just go up there. He's great. And just tell him to put it on Kathy Keel's tab. All right. So me and Robbie, we go up there and we go in and we get the hot dog. And there just happened to be some Cool Ranch Doritos right beside it. So we got some Doritos and a Mountain Dew. And it was a great day. And what we recognize as this is going to be a good summer. So every day, we would play ball until it was time for lunch. And guess what we had for lunch every day? I mean, I blew up. I blew up like a tick. And every day, we would go up there and eat hot dogs. We would hang out with Mr. Harrison. He was making bukus of money. And it was awesome. That was June until about August. And then mom comes. I've never seen her angry hardly in her entire life. And she comes home for lunch one day, and I'm like, ooh, this is different. And she said, explain this. So she had gone into the same store, and Mr. Harrison said, are you ready to pay for this bill? And what bill? And she gets the bill. I don't even remember how much it was. It was crazy. Like, it was a crazy amount of money that we had done serious damage that summer. The problem was a lot of problems. But her name was on the debt. She was being numbered with us. Listen, this is absolutely incredible. He is numbered with the transgressors. And then it says he intercedes. He prays. Shocking. It's not the only time we see this in the Bible. We see this with Nehemiah, right? He grows up in Babylon in captivity. That's all he knows. But Scripture says he prays for the sins of Israel. He was even part of that. But he was interceding. He was praying for them. Daniel does the same thing. He's in captivity in Babylon, and he's praying for the sins of his people. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's praying this way. Forgive us for our sins. It's not fake. Listen to it. He's getting under the weight of our sins, and he's inviting the Father to extend forgiveness to us because he identifies with us. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. That's what he's doing right now. That's what he's doing in heaven. He's standing before the Father praying for us. Not for his needs, for our needs. And then look what he says next. The next line. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Satan's a liar. He's a deceiver. And we talk about this a lot, but if you want to peel it back, like if you want to get to the center of the middle to the center, peel back the onion to get to sin, it goes to the garden and it goes right back to two words. It's autonomy, that's the lie, or self-dependence, both. You're the sinner. It's about you. You don't need him. You can do it yourself. That's the prayer here. And it's not, so if you go back to Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit leads Jesus not into temptation. He leads him into the wilderness where he confronts Satan and he's tempted. James chapter 1 tells us this, the Lord doesn't tempt us. But here's what Jesus knows for every single one of us in here, that every single day of our lives, there are temptations. There are places that we find temptation. So Jesus is saying, keep in mind first in the prayer, first glorify yourself, Father. Father, extend your kingdom. Lord, please give us the resources, our daily needs. But even in the midst of that, there are going to be times that you and I find ourselves in moments where we are drawn to our glory, not so concerned with his glory. We're drawn to invite, maybe it's more about what our will, not so much about his kingdom. That's the temptation. It's interesting because if you remember, we talked about this a little bit when we walked through Mark. But Jesus, he goes to Simon, he goes to Peter, right before he goes into the garden with them, and he warns him. He says that Satan wants you. He wants to sift you like wheat. But then he says this, but I'm praying for you. And when you turn, encourage them. He's interceding. He understands the temptation because he's faced the same temptation. He faced it in the wilderness. He faced it in the garden. Jesus knows. And knowing the battle, Jesus prays and he invites us to pray, do not lead me into temptation, to anything that would entice me to walk away from the Father, to anything that would entice me not to trust him, to anything that would say, you know, your will, not my will, or my will, not your will. That's the prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's the prayer. Now, we've walked through this for 8 weeks, and most of us are very familiar with this prayer. We have been. And as many times as I've said it, and as many times as I've read it, something happened to me over the last 2 months, and not that I didn't pay attention to it before, but notice the words that are on the screen. Teach us to pray. What's he talking about? I mean, because we pray this, I pray this, I've prayed it, but so many times when I pray these words, it's about Josh and what I need. Forgive me for my debts. But Jesus is saying, if you want to pray like me, notice the us. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5, look what he says. He lays out the prayer that we just read. But then he says this, if you want a picture of what this looks like, here you go. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed and I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up. And I tell you, he will not get up and give you anything because he is friend. Yet because of his impudence, he will rise and he will give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. And seek and you will find. And knock and it will be open to you. Jesus says, if you want to see what this looks like, here's a parable. Here's a picture. And I think it's important to say, so you know, that parables don't always walk on all fours, right? So it's not every single part of the parable is necessarily important to the picture. It's not like this father is sleeping and uninterested. He's like, not, because my boys always wait till I'm asleep, and then they come in my room and like, oh, I need my neck adjusted. I'm like, we'll do it tomorrow, right? That's not the picture here. The important part that Jesus is wanting you to see is the 3 friends. There's 3 friends, right? There's 3 friends that are in this parable. You've got the one who has the need. And in this time, this was a really big deal. Like if you had people come in, you were to be able to take care of them. So you got the friend that has the need. Then you got the middleman. You got the person in between that doesn't have it. He needs help. And then you've got the 3rd friend who has the resources. He has what they need. So what Jesus is saying is, you want to know what prayer? You want to know what this prayer really looks like? It's praying for the one who is in need. Being persistent for the one that's in need. It's God's, listen to me, it's God's intention to extend his kingdom through your praying for the benefits of others. That's what the prayer is about. And I'm not saying you can't pray for your own needs. I'm not saying that at all. Pray about everything. But what Jesus is saying is, if you want to pray like me, this is what it looks like. That I'm so aware of the needs of others that I am banging down the doors of heaven because I know that that's the answer. That's where the resources are. Extend your resources to these people because they need it. They're missing something. They need it. It's asking for forgiveness and it's asking for grace. It's being so intentional and recognizing when your brothers and sisters are in need. And I'm not sure so many times why we don't. Like, why don't we pray this way? Maybe we don't care. I don't know. Maybe we're so busy. We got so many other things to do. But what Jesus is saying is, this is it. The power here, this is it. What would it look like? That's why we always talk about, Lord, would you break our hearts for the things that break your hearts? And what would it look like as a church? Or teach us to pray. What would it look like if we actually got under the needs of each other? In 1992, I'm going to ask the team to come up. Some of you will remember this. There was a guy named Derek Redmond that was running in the 400 in the Olympics. And he was favored to win. And his first qualifier, he pretty much blew out the competition, which set him up for the semifinals. And he was the one that they predicted to win. I think this is a picture. I do. I think this is a picture of how Jesus calls us to pray. This life is a race. But God intends to help us cross the finish line. And he does. But listen, you realize that part of his intention is for you and I to get under the load of others. That we would pray that they would finish well. And here's the beauty of it. Not one of us is supposed to do this alone. It's the beauty of this. Not just that we hope we do better one day. Jesus invites us to pray us prayers. Us prayers. That we could actually get under the load of each other, their difficulty, their distress, their sin, their trouble, their weight, their need. That we would beat down the doors of heaven. Eugene Peterson said this, "The assumption of spirituality is that always God is doing something before I know it. So the task is not to get God to do something I think needs to be done, but to become aware of what God is doing so that I can respond to it and participate and take delight in it." Wow. I don't think there's any better picture of this than the Lord's Supper. And so this morning we're going to take a few moments as a church family to take communion together. If you're visiting today and you're a follower and believer of Jesus and you've given your life to him, then we'd love for you to participate, to be a part of this. But we're going to do this a little different. It's going to be a little challenging this morning. We're going to play behind you. I'm going to have you come. The elements, if you have not done this with us before, they're double stacked. So there's juice in the top, and there's the bread in the bottom, cracker. And we're going to ask you to come. But here's what I would ask. If you know someone here today, in here, that needs prayer, would you just find them, put your arms around them, and lift them up? If there's not anybody here, but you know that there are people in your lives that just right where you're at, for a few moments, while you're sitting there waiting, we're going to take this together, would you just pray? Would you just lift each other up? Pray for us. Pray for us as a church family. But that's the ask. Lord, teach us to pray. That we would be so aware of the needs of each other. That it would... There's two ladies in this church. I get to experience. They pray every week together. Praying for each other's needs. But what would it look like if we did that, all of us? Being so intentional about the needs of the people around us. That we would knock and knock and knock. That's the invitation. So would you come? Would you come and take the elements? And then we're going to take this together.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.